This is Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Cynthia Canty. Summer camp means many things to campers. Outdoor fun, for one. A chance to get away from parents and siblings. For the kids who come to Sejong Camp on Higgins Lake, it's a chance to be with others who share their heritage, who look like them. Sejong Camp is the nation's oldest continuously running Korean-American overnight summer camp. It happens each year at Camp Westminster in Roscommon, and it draws campers from all around the country. This year marks the 44th anniversary of Sejong Camp, and with us now is SJC Director Doug Kim.
Good to be with you, Cynthia.
And we welcome Kyle DiMaggio. These days, he's a graduate student at U of M School of Information, but he spent many, many years as a camper and as a counselor. In fact, a total of 17 years, Kyle?
Yes. It's been the single longest thing I've been involved with in my life. So
that's amazing. Doug, tell us how this camp began and how it wound up being in Michigan.
Well, the camp is an outgrowth of the Sejong School, a Saturday morning school that was started in 1971 by a group of essentially Korean mothers who felt it was important to pass on Korean language and culture to their kids. The Sejong School was held at Westminster Church on Hubble and Arder Drive, and it so happened that Westminster Church had a camp on Higgins Lake, and my parents were involved in the leadership of Westminster Church. They were elders, and through some arm twisting, I suspect, we got a week at Camp Westminster in 1976, and it grew out of that. I should say, too, Cynthia, that my parents' generation felt it was particularly important that their children and their progeny understand and take pride in being Korean, because my parents' generation lived through the Japanese occupation, which lasted from 1910 to 1945. And the latter half of that occupation was largely about cultural genocide in Korea. The Japanese disallowed the use of Korean language, Korean names, and tried to eradicate Korean culture. Having lived through that experience, my parents' generation felt that preserving and maintaining Korean culture was very important to counter any effect that the Japanese effort had taken. So the idea of starting a language school for Korean language and having the camp as an outgrowth of that was a natural thing to happen. I should say, too, that one of the reasons why the camp was started, very frankly, was my parents came to the realization that if they wanted their children to marry other Koreans, which is a high cultural value, they needed to provide a venue for that sort of interaction to happen on a more casual and natural basis.
So you have these immigrant parents, and they have their first generation kids, and they want them to really form connections that had been very, very threatened by that Japanese occupation. So there is history. And then there's also this growing trend of families in America adopting youngsters and babies from Korea, and that's where Kyle's story begins.
Yes.
So tell me about you were adopted, and
yes.
How old were you when you were adopted?
Yes, so I was 2 months old when I was adopted, and the context behind that was I was born with a congenital birth defect that was inoperable in Korea, and those circumstances led to me being put up for adoption.
And you were adopted by a family with what cultural heritage?
Yeah, so my dad's side is Italian-American. He was third generation. Unfortunately, he did pass when I was in high school. And my mother's side was Polish immigrants, and she is also third generation.
So when you were growing up in Macomb County, right, you grew
yes.
up in Macomb County.
Yes.
How many faces did you see that looked like yours?
I could definitely count it on one single hand, probably around 4 to 5 in total that I saw on a regular basis, and mostly at a distance.
What was that like?
It was an interesting experience, to say the least. I guess I didn't really notice the differences between what I looked like and what everyone else looked like in the community until I started leaving the household regularly, like going into kindergarten and elementary school.
You're a kindergartner beginning to look around, and probably things other kids are saying to you
yes.
that make you realize that you stand out.
Exactly. So it was comments in my appearance that made me feel like an outsider at that time. And as time went by and as I got older and as I started forming different kinds of relationships, that's when I really started noticing, hey, there's something here that's making me being treated differently. I would go into public places and find that I felt like I was under more scrutiny than the other people around me in terms of maybe side comments or being stared at and things like that. So that feeling of being extra scrutinized was what made me want to think more about why these sorts of things were happening.
So how did coming to SJC change for you, that for you?
Yeah, absolutely. So the big thing that you kind of mentioned at the introduction of this program is that it was the first time that I was in an environment where I was surrounded by people that looked like me. And that in and of itself brought down barriers to getting to know the people that were around me. Knowing that they looked like me, had similar experiences based on how they looked in the outside world, being able to connect with them without having to get over the hurdle of race or my appearance is what made a huge difference in my ability to create close relationships with people. So
were you a different Kyle when you came home from camp?
Absolutely, 10,000%.
How?
And I mean, I think Doug will say it. We were talking about this last night, and I think I came back with my head raised a little bit higher, a little bit more confident, a little bit more self-esteem. And that little jump in that positive feeling of self was what made me come back. So all those years that I came back, that feeling grew and grew. And now I think I'm at least somewhat well-adjusted adult.
Doug, how do you see the philosophy of Sejong Camp?
Our mission is to provide an environment where kids can understand their Korean heritage and create lifelong friends. Essentially, we do three things at SJC. In order of importance, we bring together Korean-American children, whether they're adopted, whether they have Korean parents, whether they're half Korean, a quarter Korean, and we make them the majority for the week. And that has a very important validation function. And just like Kyle said, being among people who look like you gives you a sense that you're not alone, that you're part of a larger community, and that has immense psychological value. The second thing we do is we give the children role models. Many of our campers, the majority of them come from communities where there are very few Asians, and so being able to see themselves, to resonate with people who are older and say, that person looks like me and they're funny, that person looks like me, they're popular, they're athletic, they have the same attributes, gives our campers a sense of who they can become. And the third and final thing we do is we give them positive and accurate information about being Korean. Because if you don't fit in and you find yourself different from the majority, you can feel inferior or out of place. It's kind of the ugly duckling story. And that's very common for our campers, whether they're adopted or whether they're biological.
And when you think of a typical day at camp at SJC, if you're there in Roscommon, you're on Higgins Lake, you're doing a lot of the typical camp functions and camp fun. But what are some of the other things? What are the ways you build in the culture lessons?
Well, we have a structured program in the morning where we have classes in language, culture. We teach the kids about some of the cultural history about ancient Korea. The fact that Koreans, for example, have an alphabet, we've had an alphabet since 1444 when it was instituted by King Sejong, who the camp is named after. And by developing an alphabet, he, like Martin Luther, gave the common people an ability to communicate and to speak out for themselves. We also have a singing class where we sing a lot of camp songs, but we sing some Korean songs. Just the fact that we have other campers oftentimes will use Korean honorifics to identify older campers, call them Nuna or Onni or Oppa or Hyung, which are the Korean words for older brother, older sister, based on gender. So we try to infuse camp with a lot of cultural markers and cultural traditions, but most importantly, we try to have fun and give the kids opportunities to laugh with and at each other in a very healthy and positive sense.
Kyle, realizing you've spent 17 years, as we said, seven
yes.
as a camper, 10 as a counselor, where are you today in your journey of accepting who you are as a Korean American?
Yeah, Yeah, absolutely. I can give you some a little bit of a full disclosure and background context. So my legal name is actually now Kyle Chang. I recently got married within the last year to a wonderful Taiwanese American woman. Shout outs to Angie. I changed my name in part because with a bold standout name like DiMaggio, and then seeing my face, there's definitely a disconnect there. And the sorts of conversations that would come out just from introducing myself put me in this uncomfortable position where I felt like I had to explain very private details of my life story.
The song and dance every time you meet someone. Yeah.
And, you know, I love sharing that sort of stuff in an environment like this where we're able to have reflective conversations about it. But when it comes to everyday small talk and introducing yourself for the first time, it can get tiring. So through my camp experience and the relationships that I formed there, it gave me a healthier sense of what it meant to be Asian American in a general sense and Korean American in a more specific sense. You know, having gone to camp, forming really strong relationships with the people there, feeling like part of a community that I felt genuinely connected to and that accepted me for who I was, it really just helped me become very confident, both from an individual perspective and knowing that my cultural foundation that makes up who I am is a very important part, and it's been very valuable in my life experience.
Doug King, Kim, as director of Sejong Camp, is this the kind of story that you've seen through the years as your campers come through the, year after year?
Very much so, and in many ways, camp is kind of like an inoculation of self-esteem. And each year, the campers come back standing a little taller, feeling a little more comfortable in their skins. And Cynthia, the experience is so important that even though my family lives in the San Francisco Bay Area, which is very diverse and lots of Asians, for 10 consecutive years, I brought my twin children back to camp because I wanted them to participate and to have access to this experience.
Doug Kim, director of Sejong Camp, the Korean Heritage Summer Camp in Michigan, and former camper and counselor Kyle Chang, formerly Kyle DiMaggio. Kyle Chang, thank you so much to both of you for sharing camp with us.
Thank you, Cynthia.
Thank you, Cynthia.
This year's Sejong Camp runs from August 5th through August 11th. You can get information about financial aid and how to sign up a camper by going to michiganradio.org and clicking on the stateside page.